My text this evening is found at the very end of chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Famous texts of Scripture like the one before us this evening are not always approached with relish by the preacher. It's not that he disdains the Word of God. Indeed, he believes there is a message that can be preached from every text of the Bible. But with these famous verses in God's Word, there is a reticence to take them on because of the familiarity with people can often breed a kind of holy contempt because they are so familiar with the text. By that I mean that God's people are so familiar with the verse that they can be kind of closed-minded to the thought that there's something more to be gleaned from the text. Some of you haven't already heard in 20 or 30 or 40 years of Christian living and hearing preachers preach the Bible. They think they've become experts. And like a field of strawberries, there is the notion that perhaps this verse has been preached on so much, it's been picked over. Nevertheless, when the Lord tells you to speak on any text of Scripture, that is what you better do, regardless of how well known the text or how little known the text may be. It will help us to better understand and apply our text if we put it back into its context. These great texts in the Bible are like glistering diamonds, and we always want to be sure to put them in their proper settings to really appreciate the beauty of the diamond. To put this text, this gem, into its proper setting, we need to go back to Isaiah chapter 39. There we read that Hezekiah has allowed a group of ambassadors from Babylon to view all of the sacred treasures of Israel, even those things that were within the temple. These things that were never for the profane and the uncircumcised to see. Because of his folly, based in pride, Isaiah, at the direction of God, uses this event to prophesy of Israel's future Babylonian captivity. When chapter 40 begins, Isaiah has jumped time. He is looking into the distant future to the people of Israel already in bondage in Babylon. This letter, written some 70 to 90 years prior to that, was intended for them. God had warned them time and again what would happen to them for rebelling against Him, His messengers, His law, and what would happen if they went a-whoring after the gods and idols of the heathen nations. But Israel refused to listen and set at naught the Lord's counsel. But whenever you do that, there is a very heavy price to pay, and pay she surely did, 70 years of captivity. But the Lord had not forgotten His people. He sees Israel in her sore distress with no one to turn to for help. And so chapter 40, written for those Babylonian captivities in the future, chapter 40 begins with a message of comfort for the believing remnant left in Babylon. This remnant, as they sit in captivity, were convinced that the Lord had abandoned them. That He did not really see or care about their present condition. It was a very low time for the people of God in Babylon. You find the psalmist who lived when all of this was going on, giving a sad description of God's people. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried us away captive, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? These people were weary. They were worn. They were defeated. They picture the state that many a child of God has often found himself in. But there in the midst of their sad state, the prophet utters a statement that was intended to remind them of a truth they seem to have forgotten. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It is from that portion of verse 31 that I want to make three simple statements this evening that we must never forget as a fledgling church, that we must never forget as God's people. My subject is simply eagle's wings. Eagle's wings. First thought, God intends His people to soar like eagles. The Lord did not intend His people to grovel in their despondency and defeat. He promises them that they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I must therefore conclude that He gives this promise because this is exactly what the Lord intends for His people in any age. The Lord intends that you and intends that I soar like eagles spiritually. You see, the eagle is known for its ability to fly very high above the earth. There used to be an old proverb where men would describe something like an eagle in the clouds. So high was it. And Isaiah is telling us here that God intends His people to fly high above the earth, high above this world. But what does all of that mean practically to you and me? First, it means that like an eagle, our place is to be found, understood in the heavenlies. Our place as Christians is to be found in the heavenlies. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, that God hath quickened us together, made us alive with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Quickened us together, raised us up together, made us sit together. All with Jesus Christ, together with Him, the place is in the heavenlies. It's fact, it's done, it's there. Our position, because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, is in the heavenlies. Your place tonight is together with Christ in the heavenlies. Your body is here on earth. Your soul indwells your body, but in a mystical sense, and yet in a very real sense, we have been seated together with Christ in the heavenlies. Christians have a place in Christ who is seated at God's right hand. And that place in Christ has become ours because we have been raised with the Lord from the dead. He ascended up from the grave. He sits at the right hand of God, and we are there tonight. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 2. In other words, we mount up and we soar and we rise above this world and we rise above the temporal problems of life as we learn and as we live our position in the ascended Christ. It is living the risen life I'm referring to. Rising above the world like an eagle is living the risen life that is ours rightfully, ours certainly, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God never intends us to live as if we are living in the tomb with Jesus Christ. But to live our lives with a clear and certain knowledge that we are already seated in the heavenlies. I've said before, and I want to say it again, it is in knowing our position in Christ, it is in knowing our position in Christ that we soar in the heavenlies. What is the argument that Paul gives in Colossians where he tells them to set their affection on things above and not on things on the earth? Listen, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, if that's your case, seek those things that are above where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. If you've been raised with Jesus Christ and are seated in the heavenlies and your life is hid with Christ in God and Christ is at the right hand of the Father, then set your affection, your interest, your desires, your loves, your pursuits upon heavenly things, not earthly. before ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God, he writes. It is thinking rightly about Christ. I cannot underline that enough. It is thinking rightly about Christ and where He is and our place in Him that has this spiritual power to send us soaring. There's no hocus pocus here. There's no lightning bolt falling from the sky. Thinking rightly about Christ as to where He is and our place in Him sends us soaring. Now, what is such a place like? Because the fact of the matter is, and this is, it's the paradox of the text, you know, as we sit, we soar. That's odd, isn't it? As we sit, as we know, understand, enjoy our position seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ, that we soar. What does that mean for us? What's it telling us as we are to mount up with wings as eagles? Well, the first thought that comes to mind as you consider tonight in your mind's eye an eagle soaring in the clouds, freedom. Absolute freedom. You can't help but think of that whenever you've noticed the eagle flying. There's no crowds up there. There's nothing to hinder his flight. There's nothing to hinder him as he seeks to climb higher and higher. And the wonderful thing is, even as the winds may blow, they're all the more help to him to fly. Because he's soaring like an eagle. Now I want you to picture yourself there in the heavenlies as a child of God. Think about the freedom that this place will afford you and me as we mount up with wings as eagles. When you mount up with wings as eagles, you rise above your difficulties. You get higher and higher. And that which seemed like a mass of confusion to you as you were on the earth, as you were bound by the difficulties like chains to your feet that kept you from going up, as you rise above them, those difficulties disappear. They don't seem so big after all. You, from that position, soaring into the heavenlies, learning Christ, knowing what you have in Him, knowing who He is and what He is doing now, all of, and that's a whole series of messages dealing with our position in Christ in the heavenlies. And I don't have time to preach that tonight. But learning that truth right there gives you the grace and the spiritual power to rise above every difficulty. And I want to ask you something, brothers and sisters. What difficulties did you face this past week that just bound you to the earth? That brought you down. That brought you down emotionally, that brought you down spiritually, that brought you down mentally. Difficulties that seemed insurmountable, that you weren't going to get around them or over them. I will tell you tonight, God has said we're eagles and we're to soar and to mount up as eagles, and we're going to have this freedom to rise above the difficulties if we follow our text. You'll rise above your defeats as well. You won't feel that your life is one non-ending series of defeats. You won't feel like I'm a loser in so many ways. Because you're soaring. It's free up there. I'm not saying you're free from sin. That won't be until you're glorified. But neither will you go on and live in perpetual defeat. And when you do sin, you'll not be brought and dragged down for so long and so such a long period of time until somehow you think you've worked it off and you've suffered long enough and you've shown enough penance that somehow now God will bring you back into His favor. You'll rise above the darkness. There's the clear sunshine of the Lord's presence as you get up higher. I love to take off. I'll change pictures here, but I love to take off from the airport wherever I'm going on a rainy gray day. At that point when the plane breaks through the clouds and I see the sun, that's a wonderful experience for me. the darkness, the grayness, the clouds are gone. It's a spiritual picture. When we ascend higher, when we learn our position in Christ, when that truth gets a hold of our lives, that we are forever united to the Lord and we're seated in Him and our life is hid with Christ and God, and we soar on the basis of that truth, the darkness lifts. You've gotten higher above the clouds. There's something else. I know it's got to be so outside the aircraft, if I can keep that picture going along. It's got to be true for the eagle. Because I've noticed that when I've climbed up, well, small mountains, it's quiet. The din of the city, you can't hear. It's quiet up there. And when you soar as an eagle in the heavenlies with Christ, the din of this world is shut out. All the clamorings, all the things that draw, would seek to draw you away from the Lord, it just gets silent. And my, what a place to hear the Lord speak. Now you're ready to hear the still small voice of the Redeemer. What thousands of sermons and poundings of pulpits and exposition of messages never reached your heart. When you soar into the heavenlies, it's just the slightest whisper of God, and you hear it. You recognize that's the Lord's voice and He's talking to me. There's something else you rise above, and that's dread. Dread that comes, you know, from sin and the guilt that sin brings. That fear of condemnation, that fear that God is just going to come hard down upon you still to this day. To this day, it's sad that believers have this vision of God. He is just waiting for them to step out of line. He is this austere, severe God who has such a hatred for sin, He's just ready to clobber the child of God the moment he does wrong. Or there's sins of the past, and the believer thinks that there's still payday coming for me. Those notions leave your mind when you soar into the heavenlies. Not only freedom, but the idea of soaring like an eagle higher speaks of fellowship. When you mount up with wings as eagles, you are bringing yourself closer to heaven. You are getting closer and closer to Christ. You are in that place high above the world, entering into some of the sweetest and deepest fellowship with the Lord this side of heaven. Because I always know, no matter how sweet the time of prayer may be in my own prayer closet, no matter how close I feel I might be to Jesus Christ, there's another world I've never entered into. There's a height, there's an altitude spiritually that I've never reached and is waiting for me to ascend higher. And that's what I cry for. Lord, take me higher. It is when we live chained by the difficulties and the defeats and the darkness and the din and the dread that we hardly seem to enjoy the Lord's fellowship at all. We see so little of Him. And He seems like He's a great way off. But that's not where the Lord intends you or me to be. He has given us, if I can put it like this, an eagle's heart. And the eagle is never so much at home as when he's soaring in the heavenly. Now, I want you to see in this that the Lord is, He is calling us to such a life. He is calling us to mount up with wings as eagles and to get above this old world. Couldn't help but think of that vision that John had in Revelation chapter 4. You recall that John saw a door opened in heaven, and he heard a voice like a trumpet that said to him, "Come up hither." Where are you tonight? Is there a need for you to hear a voice from heaven saying, "Come up hither. Rise above it. Go higher. Get away from that world. Come up here in the clear light of my sunshine and my face. Let me tell you, my friends, it is this truth that needs to be realized and worked out in the lives of God's people today. The church certainly needs believers who soar like eagles, not chained to the earth. The Church of Jesus Christ in this land of America needs to see believers who are soaring like eagles so that they will know, yes, this is possible. Yes, there are believers who do ascend above the mundane status quo of Christianity. There are believers who are walking close to Christ. There are believers who have overcome all the things that I face. They've had my struggles, my difficulties, my setbacks, and still they are going on with God. They have faced one trial after another, one temptation, and still they rise above it all and they soar in the heavenlies. The church needs to see that. This church needs to see that. The people sitting around you, they need to see you soaring like an eagle in the skies. Not earthbound, not worldly, not worldly-minded, but heavenly-minded. Not only does the church need believers who soar like eagles, but the world needs to see believers who soar like eagles. Those neighbors of yours, those people you work with, those unsaved family members, this world needs to see there are Christians who live quite differently than they live, who live in the sunshine of God's face, who have a different way of looking at things, who don't go around with a long face, moaning and groaning and complaining about how bad things are, but because they live above it all, they take knowledge there's something different. Your own soul needs to soar like an eagle. You need it. And what I pray is that God will get us so fed up, so sick and tired of hopping around on the earth, being chained, that we will cry, Lord, lift me up. I read a story one time, some guy out in California. He'd captured an eagle when it was very young. Whether it was against the law then or not, I have no idea. But he had held it in captivity for some 17 years. He had to move far away from where he was and auction all of his stuff off. And he had announced that he was going to, well known in the community, he was announced he was going to let his eagle go that day. So all the people gathered together. And the day came. It happened to be a very dark day. Gray clouds hovering. He brings the eagle out. Opens the cage and calls the bird to come out and just sat there. Kept calling it, just sat. The doors open, the cage wouldn't come out. He had to physically reach in and take the bird out and try to throw it into the air. The bird just flopped its feathers and came and sat right back down on his arm. Until, the man relates, a beam of sun broke through the clouds. As soon as the eagle saw the beam of light, he mounted his wings and flew off. What a truth that is. We sit nestled, you might say, content, not wanting to soar until we see the sun, Christ, the light. And that's the catalyst whereby then we soar. Then we're not content with status quo. We're not just content with coming to church on Sunday and doing our own thing the other 6 days of the week. But there's something about day in and day out we want to be taken up with the life and with the Lord. There's an awful danger if we don't soar. We have this problem of getting stuck in the miry clay if we don't soar. We have this problem of finding ourselves in the slough of despond, to use Bunyan's picture, or finding ourselves in Doubting Castle. And those are awful places to be. Slough of despond and Doubting Castle. But now you're perhaps saying to me, Preacher, I can't seem to rise one inch above myself and my sin and my circumstances. This talk of soaring like an eagle sounds good, but I'm afraid that I'm more of an ostrich than an eagle. How can I ever learn to soar? Reminded of a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses speaks there of the eagle stirring up her nest. fluttering over her young and spreading abroad her wings, taking them and bearing them on her wings. Moses is describing something unique to the eagle. When the nest is being built, which is done in the highest of trees or in the loftiest of mountain ledges, she first lays down thorns and jagged sticks and all kinds of sharp objects which seem to make strange materials for building a nest. Then she covers all of that with wool and feathers and furs of animals that's been killed. The nesting place then becomes soft and comfortable, a nice home for the birds, where the mother will tend to that brood when it hatches. But when the time comes for the little ones to learn to fly, it takes about 30 days usually, the mother begins to stir up the nest. And she will begin to poke her sharp talons into her little eaglets. And the soft wool and the feathers are removed. In other words, the nest isn't so comfortable anymore. It's not a nice, soft place to live. The little eaglets become very miserable. And to make matters worse, she actually lets them get very, very hungry. Won't feed them. And you know what she does? She'll kill some animal, piece of the meat, and fly near her little eaglets, just out of their reach. And they're starved. And they try to jump to get it. And jump. She flies off and keeps repeating this over and over again. As they make the attempt, or she herself stirs it up to such a degree, those eaglets fall out. And they begin to tumble and tumble and flap their little wings and tumble, and she swoops down beneath them and brings them back up, and the whole process starts over. Until, after about a 30-day period, they're strong enough to soar, to fly. And the Lord does that with us. That thorn in the flesh that you just want to get rid of, the Lord has it there to get you out of your nice little comfortable nest. That trouble, that sharp affliction, you'd have been content to stay right where you are spiritually if the Lord had not brought it along. But along comes the Lord's, the mother eagle's sharp talon. Oh, and it's uncomfortable. And you began to squawk. You began to pray. You began to get hungry. And then you're ready to leave your nice soft little nest. You're ready to get higher. You're ready to soar. Certainly we can say that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. The Lord will take whatever steps are necessary to bring that about, however uncomfortable they might make you. He will take whatever steps are necessary. The second truth I draw from my text this evening, there are many things that can keep the believer from mounting up with eagle's wings. Here's God's intention, here's where we ought to be soaring, but there are things that obviously can keep us from mounting up with the wings of eagles. The text before us gives us the place where to begin looking for those things that that tie us down to the earth, that keep us from soaring. It's found in that phrase, "They shall renew their strength." So then, what is needed to be enabled to mount up with wings as eagles is that our strength be renewed. What these Israelites needed who were sitting in Babylonian captivity, they had lost all strength, and what they needed was their strength to be renewed so they could rise above their situation. Now, that tells me something very interesting. That tells me there are things that weaken us. If their strength needs to be renewed, there are things that are going to weaken us and rob us of the power we need to rise above those doubts and dreads and defeats and darkness and din and etc., etc. First and foremost, lack of faith. David said this, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had quit unless I had believed. If I may make a simple deduction, the eagle flies because he believes he can fly. I haven't seen an eagle yet that hops around doubting as to whether or not he can fly. Wondering if he's going to be able to fly over that mountain or to cross that river. Yet I found many a believer who had strong doubts about his ability to do what God promises he can do in this text. And the reason is simply that he does not really believe the promises of God. Oh, intellectually, never would he be the denier that this book is not inspired. That this is God-breathed. He would never state such a thing. Oh, he would die for the truth of the inspiration of Scripture and the infallible authority of the Word of God. And be ever so ready to preach it to others when he or she felt like they needed a good sermon. But when it comes to personal appropriation of the promise that is there, and there's a promise in this text as plain as it can get, that we can soar as eagles, it comes down to, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Somebody else, but not me. Now let me ask you something. Why do you doubt God? On what ground do you doubt His truthfulness? Have you ever once been given cause to think that He will fail you? Tell me one thing that He has done to you that gives you even the slightest reason to mistrust Him. And to think, to conclude that you cannot soar like an eagle, spiritually. We look at the mountain, we say it's impossible to tunnel through. We look at the river and we say it's uncrossable. We look at the week, we look at the day and we say we can't make it. We look and we listen and we listen and we look and we reason and we depend so much on our senses, and yet somehow we fail to use the eye of faith. It's the eye of faith alone that will see Christ and soar to Him like an eagle to the sun. But when unbelief is just having a heyday in our hearts, when we don't really believe God's promises will come true to us, then we find it impossible to get over a rock, let alone a mountain. It doesn't take much to upset our apple cart and to leave us sitting down in our little corners and having a pity party for ourselves and saying, woe is me, I'm undone. I can't do it and I can't make it. And I'm just consigned to a life of living here in this old world and just defeated all the time. Unbelief chains our feet to the ground. We also fail to mount up with eagle's wings because we do believe. We trust in ourselves. Let me tell you, there's no way under the sun we are going to be able to do this kind of soaring in our own strength. In the chapter from which this text is taken, the prophet says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Why is that? Well, notice the distinction between the youths and the young men. Youths being the young children, the young men, the older ones, teenagers, early years there. You know, kids, they feel they can run and leap and jump up and down because they have the strength of youth. They don't even really think about it. They just go at it, hammer and tong. You've watched your kids. But there comes a time when they grow tired and, as it were, they faint. You ever seen the young child in the high chair that's gone all day at supper time?
and their heads just goes right down. Too tired to eat. They had nothing to sustain them but their own strength.
But then there's the young men. Those who would be more wise than the young kids, they would sort of not spend their strength all at once, but measure it out. But Isaiah said that even the young men shall utterly fall. Why? Because all that they have is their own strength.
The text says, we'll back up a bit. Lift up your eyes on high, verse 26. And behold, he's speaking to these people sitting in captivity. Okay, get your eyes up.
Behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host? That's the stars by number.
He said, look in the skies. Who's done that?
He calleth them all by names by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? He doesn't see what's happening to me. He doesn't know what's going on. And my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?
The youth will faint. The young men will faint. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. One of the reasons, sad reasons, that we fail to soar with eagle's wings is because we too often trust in our own strength. We think we've got a handle on things. We're smart. We've got a college education. We're no dummies. We've got common sense. We can figure it out.
We can deal with it. We can face all the problems and we can straighten out the crooked places and we can answer all the questions. We dream that we're going to beat this thing and declare that it will never get the best of us. We think, hey, we can fix it.
But sadly, we find that the problems are still there
and the crooked places are still crooked
and we can't beat this thing.
So we find ourselves groveling here below because we've trusted ourselves.
And the tragic thing is, our strength usually fails us just when we need it the most.
Another reason we don't soar into the heavenlies is because it's this age-old problem of neglecting prayer.
Did not the Lord say that men ought always to pray and not to faint?
And by saying that, did He not imply, by putting it that way, that if they did not pray, they were going to faint?
I wonder, do you seldom get alone for fellowship with the Lord?
But you have to say that your prayer life is more of a hit and miss thing, and really it's more miss than hit.
Have you forgotten your privilege
of communion with the Most High?
If that is your case, then I can tell you that you are not going to mount up with wings as eagles. And oh, be glad that that is so, because it would be an awful case for us to appear to be soaring without prayer.
That's bad. If we can appear to be soaring without prayer, it's a sign that something is radically wrong within when a man can apparently be just as holy and just as earnest without prayer as he is with prayer. So be glad you don't soar when you're not praying. Be glad. It says you're a child of God. But if your life can go merrily along without prayer, what does that say?
Other believers do not soar because they carry around a lot of heavy burdens. They carry them. They don't cast them upon the Lord. They're weights, and they keep them from getting up. There's a burden at every turn. And some Christians don't soar because the lack of spiritual food. Weakness sets into the soul. Reader's Digest is not going to give you spiritual food. The state newspaper is not going to give you spiritual food. Hours and hours before the computer will not feed you spiritually. And you won't have the strength to rise up and soar.
That brings me in closing to the only answer to those things that keep us from soaring. The only answer. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. They will do all these things for one reason. They have waited upon the Lord. What does that mean, preacher? I will tell you one thing. I'll tell you three things. It means to wait, first, patiently. I waited for the Lord my God, Psalm 40, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. I waited patiently. You want the enjoyment of soaring, but you don't want to do what was required to wait to get the strength to soar. You want to be rid of all that misery and all the sadness and all that dread and that din of the world and all those things. But the Lord says, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to wait on me and patiently wait. There's no shortcuts to this, folks. There's no shortcuts to living above the world. It takes patience. It's not only to wait patiently, but to wait expectantly. That's the second thing. My heart immediately went to my old friend. I can't wait to meet him. There's certain ones in the scriptures that I have in order I want to see. You know, just one of the first ones I want, Old Testament characters I want to sit down and have a yarn with, is Elijah. He's a man after my own heart. Elijah was one day upon Mount Carmel, and he was praying. It had been dry for 3 years. God said, rain's coming, but you've got to pray. You've got to wait on me. Elijah falls down his face before God and begins to pray. He sends his servant. See anything? Nothing. 7 times. Nothing. Go back. Nothing. Go back. Nothing. Go back. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Elijah. There's a cloud like a man's hand out there. A little small thing way off in the distance. Get up. The rain's on the way. He waited expectantly. And is it not true that so often our waiting upon the Lord is not waiting with expectation? It's waiting wonderingly. Well, Lord, I'm not sure that I'm going to see an answer. I'm not sure that you're going to renew my strength. I'm not sure you're going to get me to rise above my state and my circumstances. That's not waiting expectantly. That's all tied up in this Hebrew word for waiting. There's another third, final thing tied to this word waiting. Waiting actively, like the waiter in a restaurant. He waits on your table. He doesn't just stand there. He's busy as he waits. And you and I, my dear brother and sister, we want to soar. The Lord says, fine. You wait actively upon me. You wait in my service. You do whatever I say. You follow me wherever I lead you. And you've sung tonight, where he leads me, I will follow. Then don't just sing it. Do it. Throughout every day. If Holy Spirit prompts you, do it. That's waiting upon the Lord. You're convicted about something? Deal with it. Don't put it off. Don't make an excuse for it. Deal with it. That's actively waiting upon the Lord. And there's a wonderful thing that happens. It's this renewing. It's this reviving. When you've lost the strength and you think you can't go on, at that point in time, you wait on the Lord. And then the promise of my text is, you will rise above it. You can believe that? Oh, it's a nice text, preacher. Thanks for a nice sermon. But I don't know if I can really soar. I'm more like a duck than an eagle. I waddle around in the Christian life. so awkward in my walk. Nope. You're an eagle. Now, either you're a chained eagle or you're a soaring eagle, but you're an eagle. Maybe you've come tonight and you feel very chained to the world. Well, my text holds out to you that your week ahead of you can be one of soaring if you wait. Get up tomorrow morning. My brother and my sister, get up tomorrow morning and get to the place of prayer and wait upon God. Don't give yourself 5 minutes to get your shower, read your paper, and run out the door. Don't do that. You won't soar. You won't. Rise up, get along with God, and you'll find it'll make all the difference in the world in how you live that day. God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's bow in prayer.